Why not?
Because the late Colonel was scarcely capable even of recognizing the existence of another woman. It is my belief that James Barclay was devoted to his wife to a degree that bordered on the unnatural.
Tell me about Mrs. Barclay.
Mr. Holmes, I've already been through all of this with the local police.
But not with me. You and she were both at the meeting of the Guild of St. George last night.
Yes.
Was there any period, however brief, when you were not in each other's company?
No, sir, there was not.
Well, then my final question assumes a vital importance. Nancy Barclay left her home last night a happy and relaxed woman. She returned nervous, upset and overwrought. What happened, Miss Morrison? What happened to cause such a change?
Nothing, Mr. Holmes. Nothing happened at all.
Magnificent. Doesn't the organization of the army appeal to you at least? The precision, the discipline.
I see only a mindless machine whose components are trained to blind obedience.
Holmes, that's an outrageous slur on a magnificent institution.
She's lying.
And Morrison?
She has to be lying.
You mean she did have a romantic liaison with Colonel Buck?
No. She was clearly telling the truth about that. She's concealing what happened when the two women were together. I must speak to her again.
What about your mysterious intruder? Shouldn't we be looking for him?
That's mysterious is the word. He's a singular individual. And his companion, even more so.
His companion? There were two men.
No. What do you make of this? I traced that from the floor of the morning room while I was waiting for you earlier.
The paw print of a dog.
Not a dog. The general shape's right. But this animal ran straight up one of the curtains. Huh? Ever heard of a dog doing that?
It's not the foot of a monkey.
It's no creature that I'm familiar with.
Why in the world did it climb the curtain?
It was trying to get at the canary.
Oh.
It's carnivorous, whatever it is.
Each new step we take throws up something bizarre.
Oh, my dear fellow, forgive me. I haven't asked after your own researches. Were they productive?
Puzzling, certainly.
Well, you can tell me all on the way back to the secretive Miss Morrison.
Ah, you want me to accompany you this time?
If you would. It's not only in matters military that you enjoy unique insights.
Gentlemen, I cannot.
Miss Morrison, you must.
Nancy begged me, made me swear by all I hold sacred that I would reveal it to no one.
And such a promise should not lightly be broken. But the circumstances have changed so much. If Nancy Barclay were able, I'm sure that she would speak in her own defense. Since she cannot, you are the only person who can.
What you say makes good sense.
Yeah, perhaps it would make things easier for you if I were to state the broad outlines of what happened.
Are you able to do so? How?
At some time, during the 75 minutes you were together, a man approached and spoke to Nancy Barclay. He was dressed strangely in a loose garment of poor, rough cloth and was possibly carrying a box or basket of wicker. His appearance must have been, let us say, unusual. He was lame in one leg and walked with a stick, and he was, I believe, a man of extremely small stature.
You're mistaken. He was a man of normal height, or had been once.
Well, then his injuries must have been severe indeed.
His back was twisted as one might wring out a cloth to dry it. He was bent almost double. He had a fearsome face, very dark. His skin was all crinkled and puckered like a withered apple, and his eyes. There was a gleam in his eyes that came back to me in my dreams. He was dressed in rags, but the clothes were Indian. When he took Nancy aside and spoke to her, just for a second, I heard his voice. It was awful to listen to. He was the most hideously deformed man I have ever seen. When she saw him, Nancy turned as white as death.
Did you hear what he said to her?
No. I called out that I would fetch the police. But Nancy shook her head. They stood together, and the wretch waved his fists in the air as if he were mad with rage. And then he went away. Nancy could hardly speak, but she begged me. I have betrayed my most solemn word.
You have saved the life of your friend.
You're looking remarkably thoughtful, Watson. But then, a lady in distress always brings out the reflective side of your nature.
Presumably, this deformed man was the intruder at the Barclays Villa.
Quite.
And you deduced his appearance from traces at the murder site.
That's remarkable.
Thank you.
Though I wish you'd told me slightly earlier.
Well, I have to admit that several of my details...